when I call people, some of my clients, they're listening to the radio, to the TV, to music. I want to have a conversation with you. I don't want to have a conversation with the news. I don't want to have a conversation with your music.
It's time for a solid hour of business insights and strategies for success on Mind Your Business. And here's your host, the president and founder of Bottom Line Marketing, Yitzhak Saflis.
You're tuned to another edition of Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis right here on 77 WABC, broadcasting throughout the New York, New Jersey metro area and worldwide at mybradio.com and on the 77 WABC app. Yes, thank you, New York. I've been saying this for the last few years, but it's a big deal. We are number 3 in New York AM radio at this time slot. That's a big deal. How do we get there? Well, of course, it's the great listenership of the show, which I've come to expect for good reason. Great business content week in and week out. We have an amazing guest tonight, but, you know, it's radio, so I got to keep you in suspense just a little bit. Forgive me here. Throughout our shows, we cover such a wide range of business categories and professions, including sales, social media, customer service, time management, strategic planning, marketing and advertising. You know, tonight's guest could probably talk about every single one of these, but we'll see how much we can get to in only 1 hour. Just to be a mensch, every single week we open with some thank yous. First, a special shout out to the great team at 77 WABC, James, Glenn, Matt, Chris, thank you. And to the team here at BLMG, Bottom Line Marketing Group, Cirilli, Michal, Brocha, Matt, Miriam, Avigail, Malki, thank you so much. And a special shout out to the various channels that we are syndicated on. We have a robust YouTube channel tonight. Show is going to be up on YouTube, or on iTunes, Spotify, and a special shout out to the Lakewood Scoop. Yes, our daily business class is featured on the Lakewood Scoop on Instagram. A special shout out to Laser and the great team there. We also have a column in the Jewish Home that's syndicated throughout the country. And by the way, on the platform for this amazing program, mybradio.com, you could pick up all the past guests that we've had on this program. Joseph Abood, the noted fashion design icon. Beth Comstock, former vice chair and CMO at GE. Dawn Fay, district president at Robert Half. And the list goes on. What about the founder and chairman emeritus of Best Buy, Dick Scholes? He's up there, and you can access all the content. It's free. Still free. I'm not saying it will always be free, but you can get it for free now. MYBRadio.com. MYBRadio.com. Without further ado, going to tonight's amazing guest, Alan Azoulay. Let me give you some background here. He's a partner at Concrete Mortgage Capital in Toronto. He's the chief investment officer at APEC Equity in New Jersey. Just a little bit more about Alan. He has quite some depth. Yes, an individual with high capacity. He is the founder of the Sephardic Legacy Series Institute, preserving Sephardic heritage. He's authored 5 books, written dozens of articles. Alan was recognized as one of the most influential young Jewish men and was listed in the top 24 Jews who are changing the world by the Canadian Jewish News Network, and deemed a national young Jewish leader by the Diplomatic Seminar for Young Jewish Leaders. And he was the first to create the Sephardic National Delegation in Canada and has lobbied before the U.S. Congress against BDS. So, we have a lot to talk about in tonight's show. We're going to talk about being a young entrepreneur, being ambitious. That's one of his favorite topics. We're going to cut right through it. And by the way, before I get to the other topics, the feedback I get consistently is, send us content, feature guests that can inspire us, that can drive us, that can get us out of our comfort zone. Alan is such a person. We're also going to talk about nonprofits. He's involved in quite a few nonprofits and real estate portfolio management. Alan, I know it sounded like a special intro, but it's you. Thank you for joining me here on Mind Your Business.
Thank you so much for having me. Appreciate it.
Alan, we have a lot to talk about,
yes.
But first let's talk, if I may, we're going to jump into real estate portfolio management, and especially because it's tough times. COVID threw the real estate market on its head. Perhaps you could talk about your day in and day out responsibilities, and even perhaps you want to give a prediction where the real estate market is heading. Let's talk about that.
Sure, absolutely. Thank you again for everything.
Sure.
The moment COVID hit the world, one of my first reactions was, what are my investors going to be response? What's their response going to be? The next morning I woke up, my phone wasn't stop buzzing. And all of a sudden, I just didn't know how to handle it. I had anxiety, I had stress, and I dealt with it day by day. As time went on, I noticed the real estate market pretty much divided. I think even in the world, where actual retail storefronts got hit the most. In comparison to multi-res and regular residential, it's where people live. They're always going to want to pay their mortgage and their rent.
Right.
So in comparison to storefronts, not everyone's going to be paying retail that fast. So I noticed my portfolio of investors' funds were thankfully in residential and multi-res. So, and as well as my conservative approach of where their loan-to-value was and where their placement was, whether it was in a first position, a second position, whatever it may be, that's ultimately through, I believe, my conservative approach prior to it, me and my partner, to his credit, I believe that's what weathered the storm. What I believe will end up happening is malls, retail outlets, storefronts, mixed-use properties will have a continuous domino effect for the negative, unfortunately. Again, I don't have a crystal ball, as they say, but in terms of where people live, people will always pay, I believe, 90%, 95% for their rent or their mortgage, because at the end of the day, that's
they don't want to be out in the street.
Exactly, right. Exactly.
So perhaps you could still explain for those that are not so familiar with real estate, in a nutshell, what is a real estate portfolio management company?
Sure. It varies. It really varies.
Okay.
There's different areas of hard money lending or equity position, all different various pools of funds that are being managed.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of what I do for portfolio management, there's managing a certain amount of investors that are pooled into a certain particular property, or there's borrowers going in and borrowing actually funds against a particular property. So for me, from my perspective of portfolio management, it's managing the investors, managing the deals, managing the real estate transactions. In comparison to other portfolio management or managers have a different experience than I do. So it varies.
Now, Concrete Mortgage Capital, when was it founded? What was the backstory when you're like, you know what, this is the type of industry that I want to jump into?
Sure. So around 6 years ago, I was approached by an individual who was doing their website, and I said, it's an interesting website, tell me more about it. At the time, I was involved in business loans, cash advance, and I wanted to know more about this website, which was Concrete Mortgage, basically construction loans and building homes and so on. So this person who actually was the founder of the company, his name's Daniel Mandel, we met for a coffee. And he says, I don't understand. Use your same abilities for raising nonprofit towards raising capital for real estate ventures or real estate, period. So I'm like, that's a good one. And everything changed from there. So I'm still using that same strength till today and same ability and same talent towards helping families who are in need or my own personal private organizations. But I use that same strength towards the private sector and raising capital for real estate.
Now, later in the show, we want to, if we may, we want to talk about some of the nonprofits you're involved with.
Sure.
Also, because it inspires many others who are out there, who are successful in the business world, but then realize, you know, it's time to give back, but I don't know the plan. I don't know how to do it. And they're going to hear, you know, how you've done it.
Sure.
And okay. What is your general long-term real estate goal?
Ultimately, well, right now it's a little bit of on a hold because we're in the world of COVID, call it. But until after the fact, I believe it's ultimately to manage, I guess, a scale, a moving scale, where I would manage ultimately $100 million, $500 million, and ultimately $1 billion under management from a conservative point of view. And ultimately, it's hard to manage such a large portfolio, such a large scale, from a conservative angle. So it would take time. Just keep on doing what I'm doing. That's all.
Now, here's an important question, especially for someone young like yourself.
Sure.
How can someone make sure to achieve their long-term objectives? What tips do you have to keep someone's, I guess the expression, as the expression goes, keep their feet to the fire, to make sure that they have a long-term objective and that they're going to You know, that they're doing what they need to do today to reach that objective?
I would say first, stay focused. We live in a completely distracted world today. And from all the social media to everything's instant gratification. And there's pros and cons to that. I believe more cons. We're completely distracted. And with time management and focus and passion, I think that's it. It's a combination of all those factors. That's ultimately it. And then by continuously following that same pattern, being consistent. Most people aren't consistent, and it's hard to be consistent. But ultimately, it's focus, it's time management, and using all those elements together as one.
Before we go to a commercial break, I just want to touch on the nonprofit aspect. Sure. You went from being an educator, right, and being successful in the nonprofit world to a young real estate entrepreneur. Can you describe that? That kind of that blend between being in the nonprofit world and the for-profit world.
Sure, it's an interesting road I take.
Okay,
because I wear multiple hats, and those hats I take ultimately reflect me. Mm-hmm. Where I do communal things, and then as well as I do entrepreneurial things. One of my, I guess, success stories ultimately was people trusted me with their funds from the nonprofit. Whether I use their funds for a nonprofit to feed families, for publications, cost of publications, whatever it may be, they trusted me for the most basic, fundamental things of life. Then I said, hey, look, I have a real estate opportunity for you,
right,
and I'm going to make you money here. And they legitimately saw that we had we had lawyers, we had insurance, and everything was all due
in
diligence
place.
Was correct. All due diligence was proper. Like, okay, I trusted you for one area. I'm going to trust you again for this area. So basically, I just replicated the two. And it wasn't intentional. That's the most unique thing. I thought I would be in the educational world for many, many years. I even thought I would be a professor one day. But ultimately, here I am.
But you know what's special, Alan?
Sure.
The one word that came out is trust. At the end of the day, the foundation is trust. They trust you for a major gift for a nonprofit. They're going to trust you for a real estate opportunity. But it's that trust. When there isn't trust, it just doesn't.
Well said.
My guest is Alan Azoulay, partner at Concrete Mortgage Capital in Toronto and chief investment officer at Apex Equity Group in New Jersey. We're going to take a short commercial break. Stay tuned.
The future that you envision for yourself and your business is totally attainable. You need support along the way. And as entrepreneurs, having a team around you that supports you in achieving what that vision is vital. And that is something that the Covenant Group is committed to delivering.
Most of the times that people come to the Covenant Group, usually it's that they want to enjoy what they're doing, they want to have more quality time, or they want to have financial independence or financial security. My name is Keita Deming.
I'm Norm Traynor.
And we educate and coach entrepreneurs
to build a high-performance business.
We are, in essence, design engineers, and we're helping entrepreneurs design the business that's right for them and then execute.
The idea of having somebody coach you through the hard times in the business and think through what it is to have an inventory of client activity and what it is to build a base of revenue and to think like a business person, it's just not common in our industry.
My name is Mark Parton.
I'm Dean Harder.
I'm Alvin Brown.
I'm Jay Langford.
My name is Luc Godet.
I'm Andrew McKinnon, and I'm building a high-performance business.
And I'm building a high-performance business.
And I'm building a high-performance business.
Building a high-performance business.
Learn more by visiting www.covenantgroup.com.
Finally, a payroll service that does things your way. At Brands Paycheck, you're not a number, you're a partner. Brands Paycheck's personalized payroll solutions ensure that your business receives your financial information the way you want it. From complete payroll services and time tracking to benefits administration and HR solutions, Brands Paycheck helps streamline your business's payroll process and maximize productivity. Call 888-757-3020. That's 888-757-3020 to schedule a free consultation. Brands Paycheck services a wide range of industries nationwide, including hospitality, transportation, B2B, B2C, nonprofit, finance, retail, healthcare, real estate, and more. Learn why companies nationwide rely on Brands Paycheck. Call 888-757-3020. That's 888-757-3020 to schedule a free consultation today or visit online at BrandsPaycheck.com. That's BrandsPaycheck.com. If you're installing hardwood or SPC or WPC vinyl flooring, do it with the highest quality products. PC Hardwood Floors, the hardwood flooring leader, has been supplying flooring professionals with the highest quality flooring materials for over 40 years. The knowledgeable team at PC Hardwood Floors will ensure that your materials will arrive at your job site by our own fleet trucks, hassle-free. With 7 locations in New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut, and next-day delivery, PC Hardwood Floors is the tri-state area's preferred full-service hardwood flooring distributor. Call 866-369-3232 to find out how PC Hardwood Floors can help you find the right hardwood products and finishing supplies for all your flooring projects. For a free consultation, call 866-369-3232. That's 866-369-3232. Or visit us at pchardwoodfloors.com. That's pchardwoodfloors.com.
We're all in a rush these days. We're running to meetings, to finish a project. When do we have time to educate ourselves? Enter Business Class, the free daily 60-second video clip featuring advice from C-level executives and business giants such as Beth Comstock, Jeffrey Hazlett, Joe Hart, Shep Hyken, and many more. Follow us on Instagram at Business Class Clips. That's at Business Class Clips on Instagram. Or sign up for our WhatsApp daily broadcast by texting SIGNUP to 718-594-6519 on WhatsApp. Get ready to get ahead.
And we're back. Mind Your Business with Yusuf Saftos right here on 77 WABC. My guest this evening is Alan Azoulay, partner at Concrete Mortgage Capital in Toronto and chief investment officer at Apex Equity Group. Alan, thank you so much for joining me here on Mind Your Business.
Thank you so much.
Let's get back into the following subject, and that is challenges. Someone like yourself, I mean, you opened at the beginning of the show talking about the challenge when COVID hit and being in the world of real estate. That was a real challenge. You also run major nonprofits. You've authored books. Perhaps you could talk about challenges and how they may seem like big obstacles, but if you have the right mindset, you could just plow right through any challenge.
I think you said the right word, mindset. I think the biggest challenge that I've ever faced is people's negative approaches. Mm. And if you have a positive mindset and keep on going, like I always say, a horse has two blinders, has two things on the side, and it allows them to be focused. Ultimately, that is what a person needs, because you're always going to have those negative people bringing you down. It's just the way we live. It's the world we live in. And especially in the world of COVID, there's more negativity. People are frustrated and so on. So you have to keep on going forward. The challenges, endless challenges. I've had people tell me, you know, you should write your books this way and not that way. After I came out with the publication, before I came out with the publication, people told me don't raise money because of the recession in 2008. But I still did. And every single time I did it, I prevailed. So it's just that negative notion that you have to just move it aside, keep on thinking positively, stay consistent, and then you should be okay.
Amazing. I'm going to share something that Rav Meir Zlotowicz of blessed memory shared with me. One time we were discussing a particular challenge, and he said, if I had listened to everyone that gave me advice when Art School started, there wouldn't be an Art School
Absolutely.
Today.
Absolutely. Makes complete sense. I mean, when I started my organization, there wouldn't have been an organization. Same exact thing. I mean, I fulfilled a very unique void of a Sephardic Jew, of a Sephardic Jewry, where there's always that misconception of one type of Jew from Europe, right. But yet there's a whole world of Arab Jews from Middle East, right. From North Africa, and so on. So, and to preserve their heritage and a unique one, and to elaborate on it and educate people about it, otherwise, yeah, it absolutely wouldn't have happened. So,
let's talk about another favorite topic of yours, time management. Especially in today's day and age, right? In one respect, people have plenty of time, right? They have time to play with their phones, watch the videos, all those things. And yet at the same time, what does everyone say? I don't got time. I don't have time for anything. What's your take on that?
Absolutely. So it's interesting you're saying this, because my grandfather always told my father that you can never regain your time. Never. So when you have that mindset and your father drills it in you, which my father did to me, you're going to, I guess, appreciate and value time immeasurably. There's also a famous folklore where it says time waits for no one. Yeah. When I flew here from Toronto to New York, I missed my flight. First time ever. I'm usually punctual. I'm all about time, right?
Right, right.
So they allowed me to get through, but they didn't allow my luggage because it was after the hour. Mm-hmm. It was within the hour.
Right, yeah, yeah.
So I had to hop on
right.
the
Especially
next
international, yeah.
flight. And but anyhow, so it's all about time. Time is essential. These days, people aren't using their time well. Their social media is absolutely the biggest distraction. Does not help. People, when I call people, some of my clients, they're listening to the radio, to the TV, to music. I want to have a conversation with you.
Right.
I don't want to have a conversation with the news. Right. I don't want to have a conversation with your music. I don't want to hear you typing in the background. I understand people are in a we're in a world of multitasking. I get it. But it's also wrong. It has to be focused. You have to be focused. And then that's how you get your objectives ultimately done, is through each individual. And it's hard. It's I'm not saying it's easy. But ultimately, focusing is a world we don't live in. That's the truth.
So, Alan, maybe we could hold on to this because this is such
sure.
an important topic, and people are thirsty for advice on this. What advice would you give to an executive on how he starts his morning, right? Let's say Orthodox Jews, right? We pray. We have a Torah study. Come to the office. What would you recommend that the first hour look like for someone who's really going to be productive and look ahead and get a day's full of work? What would his action plan be for that first hour?
The first hour, make sure you focus ultimately on your to-do list. You should have a to-do list actually prior to the night before and focus on that. That to-do list should be your entire plan for the entire day. And if you don't follow that, then obviously it changes.
Right.
It constantly changes.
Right.
I have on my phone my iPhone notes. And in the notes, I constantly change it. I constantly change it 24/7. But I'm obsessive about it because I'm obsessive of time. But I have Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And I even print it out and I place it in front of me. Also, the unique thing that I also do, which I would like to share,
yes,
was that any objective of coming out with a new book, a raising of certain capital for a particular project, whatever it may be, I literally print it out old school style and I place it right next to my computer where I look at it every single day and it inspires me and motivates me to move forward. And I'm like, I have to get that book done. I have to raise that certain amount of capital, whether it's for that nonprofit or whether it's for this particular project and this particular property at this particular time. So when you have it visually, I'm a very visual person, it just gets done. So it's in front of you. You can't hide away from it.
Alan, I'm going to ask the question that you know is the obvious next question, and that is, even when someone is focused and they have their to-do list and things get in the way.
Of course, yeah.
How do you what's your advice on how to like still stay focused and say, "All right, listen, the world won't come to an end. I have to put it on the side." What's your your advice on how to triage the distractions that come up in front of all of us, by dint of the way our lives are these days?
It's a great question. And I think that's very applicable to me, where last night I couldn't fall asleep till 2 a.m. because of so many business transactions that all went not sour per se, but started heading towards
sideways
completely.
Hey.
So I was down, I was upset, I was frustrated. And then I decided just to go outside, take a walk. I literally did that.
Wow.
And think of the positive things. Think of what I have. I have a roof over my head. I have my children. I have the publications. So I had to like change my and challenge my own negativity again to the positivity, because otherwise I'm just always going to be in that mud. And I just had to get out of it. And it literally happened to me last night. From around 2 to 3 transactions, dealing with certain personalities who I don't enjoy working with. And taking all that, I'm like, okay, I got to look at the positive. What I have that others don't have. So that's what I had to do.
Wow. Special. So just mindset.
It's
constantly
mindset. Yeah, it's hard.
Right. Sometimes, like you said, it's It's a challenge. You know?
It's a challenge. Nothing's perfect in life. And ultimately, you have to challenge your own self. If you don't work on yourself every single day towards the positive notion and getting out of the negativity, then you're always just going to be like a sheep and just,
caught in and just, you know,
caught like, in the storm.
Caught in the storm. Alan, as an author, a columnist, involved with nonprofits and the real estate portfolio for both of the companies, what else are you involved as an entrepreneur? You have your hand in a lot of stuff.
So years ago,
okay,
it's a good question. Years ago, I was involved in a lot more.
Okay.
I decided to stay focused.
Oh, you put on those blinders.
Exactly. and cut back. It wasn't fair to my family. It wasn't fair to the people around me. And you have to give time where everyone is deserving of. So it's hard. It's a talent. It's challenging. It's not easy. But ultimately, I've cut back a lot. And I've more elaborated on those particular areas, whether it's real estate or the nonprofits or whatever it may be, and focused on those than rather being distracted and doing many other things. For example, at one point, if I may say, I was very big into politics. Okay. I wanted to enter to the political arena, and I was about to work for a particular senator.
Okay.
And at the end, it was meant to be not that that I wasn't, but I was just all over the place, but yet focused in all those areas. So right now, I just consolidated all of them and focused completely.
So what's fascinating is that what I'm really enjoying about our interview here is that, you know, thank God you're blessed with high capacity. That's clear. But still saying, listen, if I'm going to be involved in 50 things, so then all those 50 will have a percentage of my ability.
Correct.
Let's say out of my 100% capacity.
Well, very well said.
Right. We'll have, whereas if I narrow it down, so let's say if it's 50 items and they all had equal, so they're all getting 2% of your capacity.
Correct.
If you focus on 10 things, they're getting 10% of your capacity.
Exactly. That's exactly it. Very well said.
Alan, perhaps we could just talk, we once you touched on the political, you presented in front of the U.S. Congress about BDS, and we know how frustrating that is, to those in the Jewish community. It's a threat to the commerce of Israel. Perhaps you could talk about that presentation and how passionate you are on that subject.
Sure. It was a boycott, defamation, sanction a few years ago. It was chaired by Senator Ted Cruz. Co-chaired by many individuals, including myself, in the U.S. Senate. And ultimately, we wanted their blessings to go and deal with BDS.
Yeah.
It's interesting this past week where Dubai has made peace with the State of Israel.
Right.
They are promoting in their grocery stores not just fruits of Israel,
right,
but as well as putting an Israeli flag.
Amazing.
So these other Amazing. European countries who are against Israel of BDS... You have an Arab country
it's amazing.
We're in a different world. The world is changing constantly, partially because of COVID and of these new peace agreements, and as well as the new political arena here in the States. But the world is changing. We have to change with it.
So, Alan, you know, we talked about politics. Perhaps you could, you know, before we go to a commercial break, just. Again, you said you were going to almost work on a presidential campaign. That means you have some political experience here. Not as a politician, but being involved in that world. Perhaps you could just talk about it, being involved in that world.
Basically, I would say 4 years ago approximately, I was invited from the Ministry of Foreign Affairs of the State of Israel to be a part of their delegation. And it was a unique delegation where they handpicked one particular young professional from each country, whether it's Holland, Mexico, Canada, the States, and they brought them to Israel to, how shall I say, motivate them, educate them very privately, very exclusively, and nurture these unique individuals.
Because you're going to be ambassadors. I mean, not ambassadors at the UN, but ambassadors for Israel.
We were ambassadors in a,
right.
in a sense.
And in a sense, correct.
In a sense, and we're handpicked per country. And it was a part of that motion that started ultimately to getting myself more into politics and recognizing the need to get things done. Unfortunately, you could only do it through politics. as we all know, whether we like it or not, whether it's dirty or clean. They say a person goes into politics with a clean mindset and walks out dirty, in the sense that they're just, you know, have stains on their names or whatever it may be. But ultimately, I wanted to get into it, as well as it was potentially I was going to be joining a particular senator, and it was Senator Ted Cruz to work for to work with his campaign.
Got a lot of fans here in our base.
Myself included. Yeah. Ever since then, we've at the time created some form of a relationship, and of course, he wasn't chosen as the president. Instead, it was Donald Trump. And but I've had very unique opportunities with many political governments from Israel, Morocco, Canada, the States. I led a delegation in Morocco, and that was also a very, very unique experience. I'll never forget that one, where you were mentioning earlier that I was younger, that I was young, and I was in a room with a bunch of ministers, and everyone was above 80 years old, 70 years old. So I felt totally out of place. Completely. And I think that's probably one of the biggest challenges, is that the older people respect me because I'm the youngest guy in the room, but the young people, I sometimes don't know where they stand when they see me in that world, but I don't care. That's the unique thing.
So, you know, before we go to commercial break, I just have to stay on, because that's a great point. When someone feels out of place, but at the same time, there's a tremendous opportunity right there.
And I felt comfortable too.
So how could someone, what's your advice for someone developing a mindset to say, listen, I'm here, thank God, this is the position I'm in right now. Let me have the right mindset and impress the people around me instead of like, as they say, we're quaking in your boots and I don't know if I belong here, and overthinking the whole thing.
Correct. I was involved with a particular prime minister. I can't mention his name. And it was in reference to immigration, when there was mass Syrian immigration going into multiple countries. And again, I was the youngest guy in the room. There are immigration lawyers and all different types of politicians in the room. Again, I came in from the historic aspect to teach them of who these people are, their historical backgrounds, the positive effects, the negative effects, and so on. But I still didn't care. I still moved forward. I was in the room, and it was a brunch, and I just did what I had to do and give my two cents. Whether I'm X age or Y age, it's irrelevant.
Now, I mean, I know you do this naturally, but just I'm going to add just the obvious. Of course, a person has to be mindful and sensitive to the fact, if they're the youngest person in the room, not to kind of throw their weight around, meaning to assess the environment of the room so that they're assertive, but not too assertive to the point that people are like, hey, excuse me, right? I mean, is that correct?
Absolutely. The main key thing is to remain humble. That's it. Remain humble. Don't let it get to your head. Just do what you got to do and leave. You don't have to go ahead and, you know, think you're all that. And just because of your age or whatever, maybe you don't want to be that individual to look, who is that guy? You know, and...
All the guests that we have here on Mind Your Business are a lot of fun, but this one is particularly a lot of fun. Got to tell you, Alan. We're going to take a short commercial break. When we come back, more with Alan Azule here on 77 WABC.
To be successful, you need to understand what you do best and do more of it.
One of the gifts I believe that we have as entrepreneurs is to be blue sky visionaries, come up with amazing ideas, yet you're only as good as your execution. I've always had coaches my entire life. Once I got into business, coaching for me was a natural must-have. What I found in the past was most coaching programs were more focused around me earning a certain amount of income or taking a certain amount of time off versus me building a business that has value far beyond me. As soon as I engaged the Covenant Group, I could distinctly see that difference.
Working with the Covenant Group, I've gotten away from being controlling about so many of the facets of our business. It has given the people that are in my organization freedom to be creative, freedom to actually develop better ways to do things. I need a coach to help evaluate those things I'm blind to. If you have a blind spot, you don't see it. Without the coach, the process in and of itself is powerful, but the coach makes it work for a guy like me, and I think, frankly, for most people.
One of the greatest benefits of working with the Covenant Group is helping to identify what is it I do best.
My name is Keith Deming.
I'm Norm Trainer.
And we educate and coach entrepreneurs
to build a high-performance business.
Learn more by visiting www.covenantgroup.com.
Every accounting firm has a history.
The history of Sol Friedman & Company spans 45 years of commitment, dependability, and reliability for our clients. A client at Sol Friedman & Company is never alone in making critical business decisions. Behind each business move stands the full resources of an accounting firm with the financial know-how to inspire confidence and ensure success. Call 718-232-1111 now to find out how Sol Friedman & Company can help you grow your business. There's a reason our tagline is accounting with accountability. That is what we believe in, and that is the ethic we follow. For a free consultation, call 718-232-1111. That's 718-232-1111. Or visit our website at snfco.com. That's snfco.com.
And we're back. Mind Your Business with Isaac Saftless right here on 77 WABC. My guest is Alan Azule, partner at Concrete Mortgage Capital in Toronto and chief investment officer at Apex Equity Group here in the U.S. By the way, I'm sorry I didn't get to this before. Alan, for people that want to get in touch with you and actually wanted, you know, that smart enough to do business with you, how could they get in touch with you? Or what's the website?
Multiple ways. They could contact my phone number, which we'll mention, or email address, whatever it is.
Yeah, sure.
ConcreteMortgage.ca or ApexEquityGroup.com. And they could be in touch with me.
Got you. ConcreteMortgage.ca.
CA for Canada,
of course.
And then .com is for Apex Equity Group, correct.
ApexEquityGroup.com.
Correct.
And the information is there to get in touch with
Absolutely.
You. Alan, I know this may be a delicate question, but this really, to a certain degree, follows what we talked about before the commercial break. You work alongside many wealthy individuals and are quite connected with talented and influential people, senators, members of parliament, the list goes on. How do you deal with this while being a relatively a youngster, you know? I'm not, I'm saying that as a compliment, you know, quite accomplished and a young guy. You know, does age make your role or connections, you know, what's the interplay with that?
It's interesting you ask that. I've had my fair share of experience where congressmen, senators, MK members of Knesset from Israel to Moroccan individuals from their parliament or whatever it may be, either not looked down upon me, were questioning, who are you?
Right. I mean, almost like, why is he in the room?
And somehow I got there. but all kidding aside is that I think once I started speaking, and once I started sharing, I guess, my knowledge of whether it's a history or whatever it may be, and my contribution towards whatever they needed at the time, they were obviously completely content with. And I think one of the biggest factors in terms of your first point about wealthy people is since the fact that I manage a nonprofit and I have, for needy families, I have such a polar opposite from either extremely wealthy or wealthy period to the vulnerable and to people who are in poverty, that I see two complete extremes. And when I see one and the other, I humble myself. And that's just the way it is. It's the nature of the beast.
So that's very special. Maybe I can get to that. The nonprofit Ezrat Achim, Brotherly Assistance, is a charity for feeding the poor. That's in Toronto?
Correct. It's a very small, simple organization that I took over. I saw the organization was pretty much falling apart, respectfully, and they needed proper management. And I tripled the organization in terms of recipients and as well as funds. And to make it a complete cash flow structured, organized institution, organization. And it was very simple. Let's say, for example, the organization has a budget of $20,000 a month. They were always in shortfall, but I had to create that monthly cash flow. So in other words, I didn't go to individuals, I want $100 here and there, or $50 here and there, or $1,000 here and there. I wanted a monthly contribution. So the monthly cash flows created the automatic turnkey structure for the organization. So every $18, $50, $1,000 a month that comes in that I have for my dedicated sponsors fulfills the gap of that void. And now it's just completely turnkey. As long as those people are still giving and we're not dependent on one individual, rather multiple people. I have one individual in particular who gives a very nice amount, literally half of the organization. And he tripled his amount over time because he saw that one delivered. And when people see that, then they give. That's ultimately what it is. People want to see results. And no results, no return.
Now, Alan, if I may, before I get to my next question, there are many nonprofit organizations that also tune into the program or executives at nonprofit. Sure. What perhaps, for a minute or two, what tips could you share in structuring a nonprofit to operate efficiently and to get with the real world? Again, many of the nonprofits that are out there in the Jewish world are doing amazing work on the front lines. But I'm talking about what you did here by Ezrat Achim in terms of management. What tips could you provide in terms of management?
Management's a very delicate topic. It sounds simple, but it's not. You have to know who your team is. You have to restructure it. You have to, unfortunately, whether it's fire, layoff, and analyze how everyone's ability is to perform. If they can't deliver, honestly, if they just can't deliver, then you got to move on. So that's what I did. I saw who's around me, who's getting things done. Unfortunately for nonprofits, you always have those one or two or three individuals out of the 20 that get their work done. The volunteers, obviously we're in a different world. Again, today of collecting funds, unfortunately, it's a lot more challenging, the world that we live in, but that shouldn't give a reason and an excuse not to go out there. There's enough money still to raise for nonprofits or for anything for that matter. So ultimately, it's the restructuring and analyzing literally of the personalities that you work with that could work with you. I recently hired someone for my organization, and ultimately I looked into her and she did a great job and she could deliver. So at the end of the day, that in itself is something so simple, but yet something so productive that changes multiple things. So it's that's my angle on it personally.
Alan, something very near and dear to your heart, the Sephardic Legacy Series. Perhaps you could talk about that.
Sure. That's more of a passion of love.
Okay.
Totally different than real estate, yeah. Totally different than anything else. Where basically, I'll give an example to start. Say 4 or 5 years ago, I spoke at Berklee College of Music. It's in Boston. A fascinating school of just the fact that you have an art of just music. And people studying it all day, getting a master's degree or a PhD, and that realm is quite interesting. So they asked me to speak, the college asked me, they brought me in as a scholar in residence, and they asked me to speak about the history of Sephardic Jews. So what is a Sephardic Jew? It's basically Middle Eastern and North African Mizrahi, or Sephardic Jew, ultimately from Spain, and that lived in North Africa and Middle East. So I started a 2.5-hour lecture with Fiddler on the Roof. Everybody knows what Fiddler on the Roof is. So they asked me, why'd you start Fiddler on the Roof when it's a European video and music video? Said, very simple.
Yeah.
Very, very simple. I said, that's the problem, is that everybody has a misconception that this is ultimately the typical Jew. And I'm not belittling it, but there's a whole different world out of the European world, and that lives in Middle East and North Africa. Of course, the demographics have changed today for all Jews worldwide, and I wanted to touch on a niche because that history is not going to be known in decades from now. I personally believe it'll be known, but not as well known. So I created an organization in 2007 to preserve the Sephardic heritage, both politically, both educationally, and I used a political agenda, I'll admit it, to get my message across, as well as an educational main component, such as books. And then eventually we're going to be doing multimedia. We're going to be doing documentary films. We have an encyclopedia partially funded from the Ministry of Education from the State of Israel. So it's education that drives everything, I believe. They started off the State of Israel asking, what's the first thing that we need? Do we need roads? Do we need an army? What's the first thing? He said, we need an education. We need schools. That is the premise of Judaism, and that is the premise of what's really, really needed in order to... You have schools. The schools will create the roads and the armies and the governments or whatever it is. And that's so essential. So I needed to educate the uneducated and the educated in this area. So it's a passion of love, and it's something that I enjoy. And I've gotten other authors to author with me under my publication house. And we're still pushing forward. We're still moving forward, and we're still going to continue because this is what's certainly needed as a void in Jewish history, ultimately.
Alan, my next question is going to be near and dear to your heart as well.
Sure.
You wrote a number of books. How in the world did you have time to do it? Am I putting you on the spot?
It's one of the hardest questions. But all kidding aside, it's discipline, it's motivation, it's being passionate. When you love something, you just, nothing stops you. And you just go and ignore all the negativity, as we mentioned earlier. It's time management. Every hour, every morning, every evening, I did not waste. It's as simple as that. I didn't spend as much time with my friends. I didn't watch too many episodes on Netflix. I cut back on social media. So I cut back from the distractions. Also, it's really the individual. For example, I don't have any notifications on my phone. I have zero notifications. So if someone really wants to contact me, they're just going to call me, like the old school way. Emails, I'm in front of my emails all day, either way. So if I'm going to get a WhatsApp or a notification on Instagram or whatever it may be, I have no time for that. I have no patience for that. When I'm at home or early in the morning or whenever, I'll go and I'll check it. That's it. And that's the way I look at it. So it's all time management, and it's a passion, and it's really discipline to put things into perspective.
That's a great perspective also for all those that need to check their emails and need to check their WhatsApps and all that. Set aside time to do it, but don't let it invade your focus time.
It's an addiction. That's the problem today. We're living in a world of complete addiction. Every minute you have to check your phone. That's horrible. When I'm focusing on a project, for example, if I have to focus on raising a particular amount of money, let's call it $3 million on one property, mm-hmm. and I have to send out an offering memorandum to a group of investors, I literally put my phone away for an hour. I physically don't have it. And it's hard. And it's hard.
Right.
Don't get me wrong. We're all addicted to it. I'm not going to deny that. But at the end of the day, I put it away. Or when it comes to studying, period, or reading, I have a separate couch in my office on my basement with a special cute lamp, and I put my phone away. And I bring my tea at like 9 o'clock at night, and I start reading about real estate. I start reading about anything on history, whatever. And it's hard. Don't get me wrong. I'd rather watch something. But it's when you train yourself to it, then you're just used to it. So that's
amazing. Warren Buffett, it's known that for many years, 6 hours a day, he just read.
Yeah.
6 hours a day.
Yeah, if I would advise anybody to be successful, is read, but apply the reading. And apply that knowledge in your everyday life. So reading is, unfortunately, the fastest growing less activity today.
Yeah.
People are playing more gaming, Fortnite, and stupidities like that. But again, I understand people need their outlets. But it's all relative, and it's all within balance. People don't have that balance. People will spend 5 hours on social media and then 3 hours on work. How does that work? It just doesn't make sense. And unfortunately, we live in a very, very distracting world. And everything's instant gratification. That's another challenge. Everything's immediately. You want drive-throughs right now. Everything, this second, this moment. No. It's hard. You have to train yourself. And once you train yourself, then you could fight those challenges. And then you'll accomplish more. That's the interesting thing. You'll really accomplish more. You'll get so much. You'll come up with not 5 books, 10 books. You'll not raise $10 million. You'll raise $100 million. So you just push away those distractions, then
get things done.
Yeah, you get things done. Sky's the limit.
Alan, we went through many different topics on tonight's show. I want to try to connect them all, especially through the lens of a young entrepreneur.
Sure.
Perhaps you could share some tips, strategies, and we may have touched on some of these earlier
sure.
in the show, but you know, as we're approaching the close, any particular tips, strategies that you can share on how to keep focus and to make sure that you do accomplish the goals that you set out to achieve?
Sure. I think one of the main things, as I mentioned earlier, is the list. Having that list, which is focused on that particular project, that particular day, you got to get that done. You got to focus on that. And not focus on 100 other things. When a person's multitasking, I have personally myself 4 computers, 4 monitors in front of me, and I'm working on one email here, looking at one site there. It's not productive. So that's one. And also be passionate. Passionate about that list. Passionate about your everyday. Passionate about your job. If you're not happy, eventually leave. don't find that other job without finding a new one. But ultimately, it's being organized. It's being passionate about what you do, passionate about your children, passionate about everything in life. The passion will drive you to success. I think that just because I have a unique realm of Sephardic Jewry, as mentioned before, or passionate about other things, you take any passion and you really apply it, you'll be successful. I mean, as far as I believe, there's no reason why not. Just, again, take the negativity, focus, time management, to cut off the distractions. Use this, and there's more. And there's so much out there of information that you could just go watch a tutorial of these motivational speakers. Right. I also used to have that, and I used to do that. One thing I'd like to share is we discussed this off record earlier, is that I wrote a book on an entire train ride every single day to my father's work downtown Toronto. So every morning it was an hour train ride, and I went and I took, and there was no, there was laptops, but they were massive at the time. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm young, but not that young. Okay. And then I would have a bunch of notes, and every day and every other day it was different books that I was bringing on the actual train. And then I would say a year and a half later, I published a book. It's because every single day I took that 45 minutes, an hour, and instead of just playing games on my phone or doing other unnecessary things, I ended up coming out with a final product that I used my time properly. And that's it. It's not so challenging if you have the right positive mindset. And I believe, I say a line to many people, your positive mindset is your vehicle to your success. And that's really
that's
it.
Special. Can you repeat that? That's special.
Sure. Your positive mindset is your vehicle to success.
Alan, before I let you go, of course, I want to have a final question. But sure. How can people, and of course, my guest this evening is Alan Azoulay, partner at Concrete Mortgage Capital in Toronto and chief investment officer at Apex Equity Group here in the States. How can people get in touch with you and find out more about everything that you do?
They could contact me on my phone number, 416-669-9679, or contact me through concretemortgage.ca, my nonprofit, sephardiclegacy.com, many different ways. I'm sure you could even technically Google me. You'll find more than enough. And you could contact me, whether it's for investing or whether it's to help needy families or get involved and learn more. I've had many people approach me for just learning, period, of how to be disciplined and having just simple talks, and it would be my pleasure, as I like to see people ultimately grow and get out of their comfort zone.
You know, on that last point about getting out of your comfort zone,
sure.
You know, everyone, you know, we're all wired that we're comfortable in our comfort zone,
sure.
And we're afraid of going into the world of the unknown. What advice, as we wrap up the show, what advice could you share with people on how they could say, you know what? Take a time out. Take a deep breath. It might be fraught with some challenges. Be ready for that. But it's okay to think outside of your comfort zone. What could you share with the listeners of Mind Your Business on that?
Sure. It's interesting you say that, because there's a few components. Also, change your physical setting often. There's a psychology behind that. And the psychology basically is, when I was in Yeshiva University, one of the professors says, every time you study, every few days, move your physical spot within the library. Very interesting.
Wow.
So because we're so accustomed to the same place at the same time, at the same day, so you could go to a coffee shop, you could go to this office, go to that office, work from home, whatever it may be. Ultimately, you want to get out of your comfort zone so you could be more accomplished and get more of your day done. I just want to interject on one topic, sure. If that's okay.
Sure.
Specifically of time, which has to do with everything we spoke about, more or less.
Yes. By the way, it's a great great idea to bring up time management. We have only around a minute left, so
perfect timing.
It's yours. Perfect.
There's a famous quote from Albert Einstein, and mm-hmm. he says, and this is the perfect ending, the only reason for time is that everything doesn't happen at once. And it's very interesting that he says that, because we live in a world where it's completely the opposite of his words. Everybody wants everything at once. Yeah. And really, time is subject to just that moment. At that time, you can never regain it. So time is of the essence for everything you do. And it really puts everything into perspective. If you want to get that task done, if you want to spend that extra minute with your child, whatever it is, time is the most essential component and priceless component that we have, and the best commodity. And this is something that we have to take care of, appreciate, and nurture for us, for our children, and for everyone around us, but ultimately for our entire day to be successful.
And it's the only commodity that we all have in exactly the equal amount of proportion.
Correct. Yeah. Correct. Good, great point.
Alan, thank you so much for joining me here on Mind Your Business. Alan Azule, what a great show. For those of you just tuning in, where were you? But guess what? By Tuesday morning, this entire show will be up on the archive, on the platform that hosts all the past shows that we've had on this great program. Alan Azule, partner at Concrete Mortgage Capital in Canada and chief investment officer at Apex Equity Group here in the States. Well, that wraps up a great edition of Mind Your Business. Yeah, and just a programming note, the Mind Your Business show is going to be preempted here at 77 WABC for the next few weeks. We'll be back on the air Sunday, January 3rd. In the meantime, feel free to access our YouTube channel where we have many, many dozens of previous shows. And of course, the primary platform that hosts all past shows here that were aired on 77 WABC, the Mind Your Business show. It's mybradio.com. mybradio.com. So yeah, feel free to access all that great content, and we'll be back in early January. Have a great week.
77 WABC Radio presents Mind Your Business, hosted by founder and president of Bottom Line Marketing Group, Yitzhak Safliff. Mind Your Business focuses on business and marketing strategies for success. Tune in every Sunday night for this intriguing weekly radio show that's chock full of business insights and marketing strategies that will help you get ahead of the game. Host Yitzhak Safliff has been producing pioneering and creative marketing work for over two decades. He leads a team of marketing experts who help their clients build their brands and grow their businesses. Now, he and his guests offer their business and marketing expertise to you every Sunday night on Mind Your Business.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.